You know, as I read my Bible and I think about the men that God used, I realize that I will probably never be a Peter who will stand like he did on the day of Pentecost and preach and see 3,000 folks saved at one time. I realize that I'll probably never be a Paul, travel the world and preach before different groups of people and before kings and be able to share the gospel with them. I realize it can't be a John and go to an island and be exiled and get a new revelation from God. I think God's already told us everything that he wants us to know. But I think I can be an Andrew. And I think you can be an Andrew. Because you see, Andrew was not known for his preaching. He was not known for his teaching. He was not known for the miracles that he worked, although I'm sure that he worked some. He wasn't known for the churches he built. The thing that Andrew was known for was bringing other people to Jesus Christ. He's mentioned 12 times in the Bible. Two different places talk about his call, how Jesus called him to be a disciple. Three different places he's included in the list of the 12 disciples. One place it mentions that he was Peter's brother and he was a fisherman. Another verse tells us he was from Bethesda. One place talked about that private meeting he and Philip had with Jesus the day that they met him. Another place, another verse, talks about him being in the upper room with the other disciples. And three different places, three different verses, 3 out of 12, 25% of the time that Andrew is mentioned in the Bible, it mentions him bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I have a real simple message. I want us to look at this man. I want us to note three things about him. Now, before you think, well, we just got a three-point sermon, we'll be done and be out of here before very long, I got to tell you, I have a sermon within a sermon tonight. And I'm going to sneak another 4 points in under the first point, so you're really getting 7 points tonight. But I didn't want to say I had that many so I wouldn't discourage you as I was beginning. But anyhow, I want you to note three things about Andrew. I want you to note, number one, that as he brought people to Jesus, he gave it everything he had. He gave it all to the task. We read these verses from Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They were fishermen. They grew up fishermen. Their father was a fisherman. Their grandpa father was a fisherman. But when Jesus called and said, follow me, the Bible said they left their nets. They left their way of life. They left their boats. They left it all to follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. And the Bible says, notice the Bible also says how they left. They left straightway. They didn't delay. They didn't say, well, we got to think about it. They didn't think, well, give us a few days and we'll give you our decision. The Bible says that without delay, they left everything and they followed Christ to become a fisherman of men. You know, early in my Christian life, especially when I started working, people would ask me what I do. And I would answer, well, I work for GM. And then as I studied my Bible more and the Holy Spirit talked to me, I started answering that question a different way. People ask me, what do you do? And I say, I'm trying to bring people to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to be a witness for my Lord. And by the way, he's let me work at this place so I can pay the bills and get what I need so that I can do that. Because you see, that as Christians, that should be our primary task. As Christians, we need to realize that our job, our role, our responsibility is to share the gospel with Jesus Christ. And we need to be committed, just as committed as Andrew was when he said, hey, I'm turning my back on my way of life that I know. I'm turning my back on the boats. I'm turning my back on the nets. I'm leaving this fishing business that I have grown up in, that my life has been wrapped up in. And I'm following Jesus to become a fisher of men. And he was committed to it. And we need to be committed to it in the same way. Why? Why? I want to give you a couple reasons. Number one, Jesus commands us to be committed to it. The call that he made to Andrew applies to us. He says to every one of us, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The last instructions that he gave to his disciples applies to us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the thing that I have learned, I may not have learned many things in my years, but the one thing that I have learned, that in order to get along with authority, I don't care what kind of authority it is, I don't care if it's your parents or your boss or the government authorities that we let rule over us, I have learned that the best way to get along with them is to be obedient, is to do what they say. And that truth applies to God as well. The best way to get along with God is to be obedient and do what he tells us to do. And when he says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we need to be committed to do that because he commands us to do it. Second, we need to be committed because he needs us to do it. Again, you've heard me say this before. I don't know why he set it up this way. I don't know. There's many other ways that God could have got the gospel to people. Many other means that he could have used. He could have used the angels to carry the gospel. He could have wrote it in the stars. He could have done other ways to get the gospel to men and women and boys and girls, but he's chosen us to do it. His plan was that we share it with others. He needs us to do it. He has no alternative. That is how he wants us to do it. I read a little poem that conveys this truth. It says, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. And so we need to be committed. We need to be committed because we're commanded to do it. We need to be committed because he needs us to do it. We need to be committed because we are the only hope that others have. Did you ever stop and think that you may be the difference between where a person spends eternity? That you may make the difference whether they go to hell or whether they go to heaven. Again, the angels are not going to come and make an announcement. God used that to announce the birth of the Savior. But I read of no place else in the Bible where an angel served as a witness to salvation, as an angel served to the gospel. God used them to carry messages to different people, but I haven't found a passage in the Bible where an angel preached the gospel to a bunch of sinners. The stars are not going to shine the message. A donkey is not going to talk again. He depends on us. And we may make the difference between whether a person spends eternity in heaven or hell. So we need to be committed. We're commanded. Jesus needs us. We're the only hope that other people have. And then number four, it's the reason we're here. It's the reason we're here. It's why we're still here. I believe that if we've reached every person that God wants us to reach, he'll say, come on home. You're done. You've done everything I need you to do. Come on home. And we'll be taken out of this world. Last time I talked to Betty Husaki, she was over at her daughter's house. And we were talking about heaven. Every time I went and visited Betty, she wanted to talk about heaven. Every time. I mean, it didn't matter where we were. I can remember going over with Harry one time to help him do something at her apartment. And I really wasn't there to visit her, but I just sat down for a minute. She said, just a minute, I want to talk to you about heaven a little bit. And Harry ended up doing most of the work that I was supposed to help him to do. But anyhow, we always talked about heaven. And she says, preacher, when am I going to go? I'm ready to go. I said, Betty, I know you're going to go. I know you're ready to go. And I know God's going to take you to heaven. And I know you're looking forward to going to heaven. But he's not going to take you until he's done with you. And she said, well, what can I do? I'm here in bed. I can't get out of bed. The only people I talk to are my grandkids and my kids that come to see me. What can I do here? I said, Betty, I don't know. But I dare say God wants you to say something to one of your children or to one of your grandchildren that may lead them to the Lord or may get them to do something that God wants them to do. God is not going to take you until he gets done with you. And the last word she said to me, I went and saw her the next time and she was asleep. She wasn't responsive. The last word that she said to me was, I hope he gets done with me quick. I hope he takes me to heaven quick. And that's where she is tonight. So I want you to note, number one, Andrew gave all to the task. I want you to note, number two, who Andrew brought. Now, I have 3 points under this point, so I guess you're really getting 10 tonight. I want you to note, first of all, he brought his family. He brought his family. John chapter 1, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him, he brought Peter to Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, does your family know Christ? Is your mom saved? Is your dad saved? Are your brothers saved? Are your sisters saved? How about your grandpa and grandma? Are they on their way to heaven? How about your aunts and your uncles? How about your children? How about your grandchildren? How about your nieces? How about your nephews? I'm asking you tonight, does everybody in your family know that they're a Christian? Does everybody in your family know that they're on their way to heaven? I want to remind you tonight, hell is real. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not something that God just put in the Bible to scare everybody to heaven. It is a real place of fire, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The saddest thing that I can imagine is one of my children or one of my grandchildren or somebody in my family having to spend eternity in hell. That motivates me. That motivates me. I've witnessed to my nieces a couple times. I always have to do it when my brother's not around because he gets real upset when I talk to my nieces about salvation. I had an opportunity to talk to my niece and her fiancé. They're getting married in a couple months. And I still have not got a firm conviction in my heart that she's a Christian. I think her fiancé is. He gives a good testimony of accepting Christ when he was a little boy. But I'm concerned. I spend time on my knees praying for her because I want her in heaven. I don't want her to go to hell. And so Andrew brought his family. We ought to make sure our family, everybody in our family is saved. I want you to notice somebody else he brought to Jesus. He brought a child. In John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. The Bible says Andrew brought that young man to Jesus. Now again, we know the rest of the story. Jesus used the lad's lunch to feed 5,000. But the fact is, Andrew says, children need to come to Jesus Christ. We need to bring children to Jesus Christ. We need to get them while they're young. We need to get them when they're little, and we need to tell them about Jesus. Some people say, don't you think they're too young to hear about Jesus? Don't you think we should wait till they get older so they can understand it all? No. I think we ought to start telling them about Jesus when they're little babies. Yeah, I understand you have to get to a certain age before you can understand the difference between right and wrong, before you commit that first sin and know that you're committing that sin. But I don't think there's anything wrong with telling a toddler and telling a little one that may not be able to understand it about how much Jesus loves them and singing the songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We need to get them when they're little. We need to get them when their heart is not hard. We need to get them when they can understand before the world gets their hooks into them that Jesus loved them and Jesus died for them. We need to bring children to Jesus Christ. And then third, I want you to notice who else he brought. He brought strangers. He brought people that he didn't know. In John chapter 12, verses 20 and 22 through 22, the Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. Andrew brought these people to Christ. They came to him. They asked. They said, we want to see the Savior. And these were not members of Andrew's family. They were Greeks. They were somebody that Andrew did not know. And they came and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And I want you to realize tonight, there's many people in the world today are asking that same thing, are saying that same thing. And unless we listen real closely, we'll miss the question. You see, the world is full of people that have given their life over to something, trying to satisfy the longing that God has put into every person, that a longing for something that satisfies, a longing for something that brings peace, a longing for something that brings purpose to their life. And they've given their life over to all sorts of things that the world has offered and said, this will do it. This will bring meaning. This will bring purpose. This will bring peace. This will bring happiness to your life. And the world is a liar. All the things that the world has to offer, they may be pleasurable for a season. But when that season is over, that person is still as empty as when they started. And what they're really asking for, what they're really begging for, is to somebody tell them the truth about what brings purpose and peace and joy to life. And the answer to that question is a person called the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of condemning them because sometimes they walk in sin, instead of avoiding them, let's remember that one time we were in that same boat. We needed Jesus. We need somebody to bring us to Jesus. And somebody loved us enough and somebody cared for us enough to bring us to Him. And we found what we were looking for. They need the same thing. So again, note tonight that Andrew gave all to the task. Note who he brought. And note number three, he didn't do it on his own. He didn't do it on his own. I read from Acts chapters 1 and 2. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where both Peter and James and John and Andrew. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost and went out and preached and 3,000 people got saved, Andrew was there. He got filled with the same Holy Ghost. And when he went out to bring others to Christ, he did not go in his own power. He did not go in his own intellect. He did not go in his own personality. He went out with the power of God on his life. He went out with Holy Spirit power to bring other people to Jesus Christ. When we commit ourselves to do the same thing, when we realize that we're commanded to do it and that God needs us to do it, and it's why we're here, and that we're the only hope that some people have, and when we go to our family, and when we go to children, and when we go to people that we don't know that are strangers, we don't go alone. We don't go with just the resources that we bring to the transaction. We go with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. When Jesus gave the Great Commission and he said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said this, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's how Andrew went. That's how we go, with his power, with his wisdom, with his boldness, with his, and he said, Jesus said, when you stand before kings, when you stand before people, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll put the words in your mouth. I'll tell you the exact words to say to reach that person. Follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. And we need to commit to that task just like this man did. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this example that we have in this one called Andrew. What a wonderful thing to be noted about a person is that they were always bringing somebody to Jesus. And I pray that that's what people would say about us. They may not know anything about us. They may not know where we work. They may not know what our hobbies are. They may not know what we like and dislike. But Father, help them to know as they think about us, hey, there's somebody that takes people to Jesus Christ. I pray tonight if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they would understand they're a sinner and they need the same Savior that we've been talking about tonight. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, but it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come and take it. They need to come and claim it. They need to come and make it theirs. And so, Father, if there's just one tonight that's not sure of heaven, I pray tonight they would come and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most, if not all of us, are here tonight are Christians. You've left us here for a purpose. Help us to be about the business that you've called us to be about. Help us to have a burden for the lost. Help us to go forth, weep, bearing those precious seeds. And then, Father, depending on you for the harvest so that we can return bringing our sheaves with us. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.